B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to.
My man, Beatles got pregame starting at 1:30. You don't want to forget, weekend is here. It's brought to you by Coors Light, official beer of football Sundays. So you get into Fox Pro, you get all liquored up, get some Coors Light, hang out in the parking lot, listen to Beatle, get you ready for the game. Bob and I will have the call, Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. It's one of those days you keep the beer outside, you don't even need ice. That's the best.
Getting to that time of year, right?
Yeah.
Bill Perry.
$2.
Is here. Hi, Phil.
What's going on, boys?
How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Great question. When we air this Sunday, I don't play when you lose.
Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston in studio. Phil, you were on that podcast with Tommy Curran that we played a small clip of earlier today about Brady.
I was.
And his contract status and how the contract negotiation went last offseason. Or late in the summer, I should say. Not really truly the offseason. But let me ask you this. If Brady were to leave, where do you think he could land? Other than the obvious one of San Diego, which people have said. That one's been thrown around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some interesting options.
I still call
options.
It San Diego. Sorry, I'm not calling it L.A. I refuse to. It's San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And I know you guys have. I know you guys have talked about this story at length today already. So to me, it feels like you have to give that the caveat of like, we don't know. Caveat. I don't think Brady has even thought about it that much.
Fancy word. Caveat. Fancy.
And we mentioned that on the podcast yesterday. I don't think this is really right in the forefront of Brady's consciousness right now. But it is sort of interesting because I think the first question that people come up with, Patriots fans especially, right?
Yeah.
You talk about Brady not being here. They say, well, where is he going to go?
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere where they can't compete. And he's not going to go anywhere where he doesn't want to live. So that really limits the markets and the franchises that he would even consider, right?
Right.
I agree with that. I just feel like some people overlook how quickly you can turn things around in this league if you get a quarterback, i.e. Tom Brady, and you spend some money on the pieces around him if you have money to spend. And so the team that I threw out on the podcast yesterday was the Miami Dolphins. Miami has over $100 million in cap space for next offseason, 2020. Second only behind the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, let's say a quarter of that goes to Brady, right?
Okay.
So that leaves you with $75 million.
$75 million. You want to go get Joe Tooney?
Sure.
You can do it. You want to go get Brandon Scherff, one of the best guards in the league from Washington? You can do it. You want to go get Brian Bulaga, the tackle from Green Bay? All of a sudden, you just turned the worst offensive line in football, arguably, to one of the best.
It's kind of what Dallas did.
You have Devontae Parker down there. You have a couple veteran free agent receivers floating around. Maybe they're willing to take a little bit less to go to Miami, tax-free, play with Tom Brady, A.J. Green, Emmanuel Sanders, both those guys free agents. Come on down.
Specific names here.
I'm just saying.
You really thought this one out.
I'm just saying.
No, but you're right, too. When you start getting these big contracts, that tax-free stuff helps.
What else? What else could there be about Miami?
Oh, South Beach.
Coaching staff.
Coaching staff.
Chad O'Shea, red zone coordinator.
Should have maybe put that right at the top of the list.
Red zone coordinator here in New England.
The system is not a system that you'd have to change, and you wouldn't have to go to wherever you're going to go with Josh McDaniel.
I'd elevate the home life.
Home life should be way up there, too. So business opportunities.
Got to fill the bucket.
How about a health-conscious fan base that might be into TB12 if you start inserting centers down there
in Miami? Good-looking people.
Now, if he needed to find a place to you know, open a TB12? Is there anyone in Miami that owns a lot of properties that could maybe help them find a location to open that clinic?
So, the
connection you're referencing there is to Stephen Ross, is the owner of the Miami Dolphins.
Where did he go to college, by the way?
He's a Michigan man. He is the most generous benefactor in Michigan history, from what I've read.
Wow.
Sounds like they're planning on naming some athletic facilities after the guy. They already have, I believe, the business school there is named after Stephen Ross. A lot of money that he has handed over to Michigan over the years. And there was a recent, remember when Brady went to Michigan and played catch with his son on the field there in the big house?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Ross was there for that game. So, you know, there were, I remember from that day, there were pictures of Ross and Brady chatting, just a couple of Michigan guys hanging out. You know, they're not talking about, hey, what are you going to do in 2020?
Right. No.
I'm sure. But
hey, good to see you back here. Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me if there's a relationship there, because there also appears to be, and I don't know Tom Brady's real estate history like the back of my hand, but according to reports, some of the places he's lived in New York have been Stephen Ross properties.
And he's taken them and flipped them and made a ton of money off them, too.
So he has purchased properties from Stephen Ross's companies?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Ross has property all over the...
Yeah, he's a developer.
All over the joint, right. And... which should be no surprise. I think he has an expertise in sort of high-end condos, townhouses, et cetera, where people like Tom Brady
those
or
are things
professional
that Tom
athletes
Brady
might
likes.
Be interested in.
Brady likes those things. So if Brady needed to find a condo
but
for
that
himself
now, that doesn't
while the
mean,
kids go to school in Connecticut.
Right.
And, well, he's also done some business with Steve. Who knows?
I don't know if it's been
guy.
One-on-one business.
Right,
has he been, you know, on the phone with Stephen Ross when he's buying a place? I almost
familiar,
doubt that. But
familiar with each other. At least that we know.
That's a place that I think would be under consideration if I was Brady for all those reasons.
I want to play this. This is Willie McGinnis doing a podcast for NFL Network. And Willie McGinnis has something on all these rumors out there about Brady could go to... San Diego, the San Diego Chargers, who now happen to play in L.A. They just play their games in L.A., but they're still the San Diego Superchargers.
Chargers of Los Angeles?
That's what they should have called it. I said that in the very beginning. So there's been a lot of that out there that Brady could be San Diego.
Can't take that pot of blue and put it in L.A. Can't do it.
It could be him filling the new stadium. They're going to need to sell tickets. How attractive? Blah, blah, blah. We've heard this so many times in the last few months. You know who's throwing a little cold water on that? Willie McGinnis, and he has a very specific reason why.
Good friend.
I still am not going to be surprised, though, if he winds up with the
Chargers.
Hold on. Is that Nick Cattles? Jesus. Who's that guy?
Dave Demershek.
Dave Demershek. Okay. I just didn't hear that voice. Go.
I still am not going to be surprised, though, if he winds up with the
Chargers.
Yeah. I think it makes sense because they will court him. And if he has that carrot to dangle.
I'll just give you one little nugget.
Okay.
Somebody really important to Tom Brady, who he spends every day with, his other half, doesn't like it out here in California.
Is that true?
So
I thought you were going to say she loves it out here.
Like
she wants
to California.
Get into acting and stuff.
So that probably, she doesn't need to act, trust me.
Way to be more animated.
He says Giselle's out on L.A.
Isn't that
interesting? Isn't it? Because I think a lot of us looked at that and said, well, wouldn't the family love to live there?
Apparently not.
Is that true?
Now, Brady still has plenty of family in California, northern and southern.
Maybe that's why
she pointed out on the podcast yesterday. And so maybe she could be convinced. But if you were thinking that Super G is dying to get out there, it sounds like maybe not.
She's more of an East Coast gal.
I like that.
Like that about her.
I don't like West Coast.
New York.
Too busy
for
New
her
York.
Work.
New York.
Stop.
What? She would prefer New York versus
she's
LA.
Gonna, thought she's not going to work in Florida.
It's her.
That's more.
It's she's put her career on hold. Zone.
Imagine being closer to.
How does Brazil? Alex like You're Florida? Has Alex ever lived in Florida?
Is Brazil? LA closer to Brazil?
Not LA.
That I don't know.
Miami.
That I don't know. We had on the podcast a few weeks ago, Curran saying that even though Alex Guerrero's property that's closer to Boston was up for sale, he actually had bought
Plymouth.
In Plymouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Hey,
apparently.
Hey.
That's what they say.
I couldn't do that podcast. Like, what's wrong with you?
Can always keep that Plymouth home as a vacation home.
Did you go to broadcasting school?
To Miami.
To emphasize your words?
Is that true?
Is it?
It may be, but I'm only going to answer if you stop talking like that.
Action update here. Phil thinks Brady could go to Miami. You imagine that twice a year in the division? Playing Tom Brady.
It's just an option.
I'm saying you think it's a possibility.
Sure.
Yeah, is that all true?
Action update. More with Phil. We'll get to the game this weekend as well.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Come on, shake your body, baby. Do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby. Do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Hey, don't forget, coming up tomorrow, Felger and Maz are going to be at Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall doing a meet and greet from 1 to 3 p.m. as part of their effort to help Christmas in the City this holiday season. Christmas in the City gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston children that are currently homeless, and Felger and Maz are out there this week. They're collecting toys and monetary donations.
What time?
That is tomorrow from 1 until 3 p.m. at the Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall. And you can also go to our website, 98.5thesportsapp.com. The online auction will close tonight at 6. Less than 6 hours to go on that. You can help Felger and Maz and help Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of children this holiday season in the Boston area.
So, and you could kill two birds with one stone. I got a ton of replies, not replies, but requests asking me. What are you going to do to give Felger a piece of my mind?
There it is.
You could go to the mall, give Felger a piece of your mind, and help some kid out, homeless kid at Christmas. You bring a gift. Bring the gifts. Don't just give him peace of mind. Bring the gift to give him peace of mind. So you'll feel better. You'll feel better giving him a piece of mind.
I always find it amazing.
And you'll feel better helping a little kid out.
That Zoe goes places and everyone yells, "Where's Beetle?" And when I go places, everyone says, "Where's Zoe?" Like we go like we live our whole life.
Package deal.
Like we, you know.
I'll be in a personal public appearance. You know, that like I'm doing, you know, like the speaking gig. Where's Beetle at? I'm like, I'm at your company. Your company paid me to be here.
It's like no one's satisfied to see just one of us. Well, where's Zoe?
I'll watch you every day.
I don't know. Home? I don't know.
You know what? Hardy's he's nice balance for you guys. Heck, Hardy, he's very valuable. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Where's Zoe? I don't know. But it's funny. But here's your chance where people do also say to us, again, Zoe just described it. Yeah, why don't you tell Felger? No.
2 to 6 are on. You got the number. You can email them. More importantly, you can show up in person.
I'm not telling Felger anything. But here, now you have a chance to go do it.
I want you to help
and
these
help
kids.
A great cause.
Help these kids. This is their
great point. So
it's a charity they are passionate about. So get out there and help them. And it's that time of year.
They did a great job yesterday as well in their broadcast at the Seaport Hotel. So
yeah, I wish Kenny the best of luck too. The news that he got, and the guy goes out and he runs 20 miles a day of it. Amazing, absolutely amazing. Not on the day that. You know, he's dealing with ALS, and I know they announced that yesterday. But guy still goes out, runs 20 miles. Amazing.
Let's talk more with Phil here, but we do want to talk to you on the phones at 617-779-0985. Brady is a topic of conversation. Obviously, the game this weekend as well. Allen's in Attleboro. He's been hanging on. Allen, I appreciate that very much. What's going on?
I think Stidham has more experience than Brady when he started.
Okay.
What?
He thinks Stidham is more experienced than Brady. Based on what, his college career?
No, he was...
Oh!
He
idiot.
Played almost the whole preseason at quarterback, where Brady was a fourth quarterback the first season he was here.
All right. I don't think that's going to make or break a career, the experience of playing in preseason games. I mean, although it may be technically true,
I don't know that
it matters. The skill level of the player is what will matter more than playing in those preseason games.
Hell in it. You're right.
You know?
You're so damn right, Alan. No. What did we see in preseason?
See, this is going to be tough. No. This is going to be tough. No. Whatever happens next, whoever the next quarterback is,
good luck.
You're going to have people looking at you saying, well, why can't he be the next Tom Brady?
I'm with you.
Why not?
But I just think
Coach
in general,
is still here.
I think they're for a long
systems
time.
Systems in place?
You know, for a long time, we thought the fan base would absolutely rebel and would be irate, and you would have people that say, I don't want to renew season tickets.
Hey, here's another
thing. That may have been true five years ago on Brady. I don't think it is now. I think we're in a different place as a fan base, too, when it comes to this play.
See, Miami was desperate, too, when Manning was available, and they courted him. And everybody thought, he's going to Miami, right? You're going to save money. You're going there. You're older. You want to play in the good weather. All that stuff. Didn't Peyton already have a house down there, too? I think Peyton already had a place down there. So if you're Brady, too, and you don't like the way things are going here, and say it doesn't end well. Say you pop. And they don't come to you and say, you know what, we really want you to finish your career here. I don't want to go play against them twice. They all got the answer, and they got the next plan, and they're ready to go, and they're ready for their transition. I don't go play against them twice.
Here's another suggestion from Wilson in the car. Where
you want
do you think,
that? You want to deal with that next year?
Where do you think Brady could go?
Yeah, I think Brady's going to Dallas next year. I think I'm a huge Brady fan, Patriots fan.
Come
I hate
on.
To see him go.
They're going to pay Dak.
To Dallas, man. They got the best. No, they're not. Would you rather pay Dak or Brady?
Well, I mean, I would rather pay Tom Brady than Dak, but for the Dallas Cowboys moving forward for the next 10 years.
Jerry Jones is willing to pay anyone. AB's going to Dallas. He's not going to do it this year because their season's over.
Is Dak, can you win the Super Bowl with Dak?
Offensive line in football.
Wilson.
One of the best running backs in football.
Wilson! Their defense stinks.
Wilson, you think you can win a Super Bowl with Dak?
Ugh, no.
Yeah.
I think you could.
See, I think you could get there, but their defense is just so bad.
Right, I'm saying he would not be the reason why you can't win. Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott is one of the good things you have going for you.
Yes.
From everybody I talk to that has some familiarity with them down there, meaning the Cowboys.
You want Dak for 10 years or Brady for two?
He's one of the better leaders and a guy that doesn't quit.
There's no question.
He got quitters on
him. He's a very good player. He's not Tom Brady at his height, but he was for the first more than half the season, if not for Lamar Jackson, in the MVP conversation. That's how well he was playing.
They can't beat up Romo. No, not to say I'm comparing Romo to Brady, but Dak got chip on his shoulders.
The issue they're running into down there is that they paid their running back too much money.
They paid the wrong guy.
So now you have a receiver who's up, you have a quarterback who's up, and you have to figure out how to divvy up the money to your Jerry Jones.
This is the problem you're in because this is what ended that transition to where they had all these good players when they had, basically two-thirds of their cap dedicated to Witten, Romo, and was Dez Bryant, right? And this is why they had to retool things to get to this point.
But this is going to be the other annoying conversation we have to have until something happens. It's going to be in addition to, why can't he be the next? Why can't he be the next Brady? We're also going to have to listen to every Patriots fan and Tom Brady fan saying he could go to Team X, any team in the league, because Brady is going to be an obvious and immediate huge upgrade over what they have right now. You know where he could go? Baltimore. That's where they need him. Of course he's been Lamar Jackson running around like a fool. No,
you
need
hurt.
A pocket passer. That's all Baltimore is.
The other thing with Dallas
some
is...
Teams, I'd be
believe
stunned.
Believe it or not,
some teams wouldn't take Tom Brady right now.
I'd be stunned if he wanted to go there.
Yeah, he would go.
Forget all the other things.
To Dallas.
What's attractive about that? Oh, they'll have a bad coach again, because they always do. And the owner is the star of the show.
What if they got to Josh?
And
could you get Josh down there?
I don't think so.
No, because he's in love with Kellen Moore. It's freaking Kellen Moore again.
I don't think that Josh.
I don't know if I'm Josh Garrett, if I would 2.0. Want to do that.
I don't. Right. Think,
the who? Owner is the GM.
It's Kurt Suicide.
He's not giving that up anytime
it's
soon.
Kurt,
no. You have no control over personnel. You have to cede to Jerry Jones every point in the season when you're trying to add to your team. Hey, I don't think
how did it end with Parcells? How did it end with Parcells in
not
Dallas?
Not good.
Okay, so it didn't end well with
Jimmy.
Parcells. It didn't end good with Jimmy Johnson.
Didn't end good with Wanstead. And Wanstead was a big Jimmy guy. Here's another thing. I talked to somebody close to Josh. Said he's going to make sure that this next one is the right one. And Dallas is not the right one where you look at it.
No.
That Josh is still young. You know, Bill's age was brought into the conversation where Josh is going to want to be coaching as long as Bill will. And that's 30 years from now, 20 years from now.
That means Josh is leaving?
No. Doesn't mean he's. But he
could
knows.
Could be some interesting opportunities
He knows
out there,
this
though.
Could be the one of the last.
Carolina?
I think he's got one shot at head coach.
New York Giants, potentially?
Yeah.
There's going to be some potential
but, like,
good landing
wants
spots.
To make sure that's the spot. That's the ender for him.
What if we mentioned Brady in the same breath as the Chargers earlier? What if they throw a pile of money at Josh McDaniels, say you're in control, front office, head coach, we're going to want the quarterback too. You guys come out here, you figure out whoever the next guy is for a couple years, but you're going to have Tom, you're going to have your system out here in L.A.
Hmm.
And that's going to be our package deal to sell our tickets.
Yeah, the other half doesn't like L.A.
See, here's another thing, too,
Willie
with Brady.
Willie McGinnis reports.
Oh, true. Okay.
Here's the thing with Brady, too.
You laughing at Willie, Marty?
No, I'm definitely not.
Willie, would, come in here and kick me. Your ass.
Couldn't be me.
I believe that he could.
Never seen bigger human hands in my life. But maybe Shaq.
I also believe that Giselle is like the wind. You know, she is like the nature of water. And
is that true?
Welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you here, Willie. I know, Willie. Willie probably wanted to choke that dude out.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't. He seemed to be enjoying himself.
You're excited? You're here to get paid for the podcast?
We'll talk about this weekend's game, the Kansas City Chiefs, the matchup. Also, we talked about the offense and maybe simplifying things for young players. Phil's got some really interesting stuff on that we're going to get to as it relates to rookie N'Keal Harry. It's part of our conversation on this game. We'll do it after headlines. Here's Hardy.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip hip hooray for Christmas vacation.
Phil Perry is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. You can always get the podcast of the show at 98.5thesportshub.com by the hour, but also download the app. That's the easiest way to make sure you always have us close by. Stream us, get the hourly podcast, or download it in a nutshell.
Yeah, ooh, nutshell. Hello. Move it for you for the nutshell.
Yes, the nutshell podcast, the abbreviated summed up version of the show.
I saw your stupid friend there, Adam 12, trying to taking a vote for what's the best Christmas song. And he voted for that Brit, Paul McCartney.
No, I think that was for the worst.
Having wonderful
the worst Christmas song.
Oh, it was.
He's made a killing on that song.
In fact,
Adam 12, I believe he said that
sing their song.
That one song alone causes him to dismiss at least a third of what he did with the Beatles.
I agree.
Take it off the board. That one song, now you cancel out 33% of what you did. According to a story in USA Today, McCartney earns approximately $400,000 to $600,000 per holiday season each year on that one song. Like, that song is still good for $500,000 a year.
That song's not worth $5.
What a world.
That's unbelievable.
What a great world it is.
But that Christmas vacation song.
Well, that's my favorite Christmas song. The one that Artie made.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well.
Cannonball.
You know, maybe we can get that before the end of the day, Jim, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Jim.
It'd be great to hear that again.
Mm-hmm. This is the latest I've gone without seeing Christmas Vacation yet this year. It's the first time in my life. I haven't watched it right when December turned.
Yeah, a lot of Home Alone in my rotation this year.
A lot of Home Alone, but they're playing Home Alone Lost in New York a lot right now.
It's good. It's a great sequel.
It's a good one.
Great sequel.
Maybe one of the best sequels out.
Agreed. Check it
out.
Agreed.
Okay.
When you have kids, it's even better.
Trump makes an appearance in that one, doesn't he?
He does, right in the lobby.
Down there, past the lobby.
Yeah. All right, so Phil, this weekend, Kansas City Chiefs, I think it's the most critical game of this Patriots season in that if they don't win, things really don't look great for this team. Unable to beat the good competition in the AFC. Didn't have an answer for Lamar Jackson. Losing in a not so great fashion against Houston on the road. Now the Patriots come back home with a chance to get back in the win column, but also it's the type of game over the years where Patriots teams with Belichick and Brady have responded and have won and have restored order when things don't look so great. It's a game they typically win, and they're at home. I think they need this one.
It's
a major way.
It's their spot.
It's a big spot.
Well, they definitely need it. I mean, if they don't get this, what does that Bills game end up looking like?
I know, the math. The math is not good either.
So you need it.
But even outside of the math, just the fact, what do you think of this team, and how do we assess this team?
Agreed.
It's a real measuring stick type of game. It's a team they beat last year on their way to the Super Bowl. It's a team they looked better than last season. Are they better than them this season? Did Kansas City get better this year? I feel, if anything, they got worse.
I think they regressed.
They've regressed.
Yeah.
So have the Patriots.
But I would say this. I'd say they're better.
Hold on. In relation.
Yeah. I say Kansas City has better people on offense this year.
But the offense, though, I'm not sure I know what this Kansas City offense is right now at this moment as we speak.
I agree with that, too.
Because the last two games have been weird.
I think the talent is better. like, you know, would they look at them differently where their offense isn't hitting on cylinders because they haven't put it together.
You're right, Phil.
New England doesn't look like they have the ceiling of talent that Kansas City has. But your defense is built to defend Kansas City.
Your defense is better. That's what I would say.
I shouldn't say the team has regressed. The offense has regressed.
The offense has certainly regressed. I think the Chiefs' offense has come back to earth a bit. Now, Patrick Mahomes has 3 games under his belt since coming back from the knee. Tore it up against the Titans. Looked great. First game back. Last two, and there's been a bye mixed in there, has been a little weird against the 21st and 29th defenses in the NFL when it comes to yards per attempt allowed. So 21st and 29th pass defenses, I will call them. The Chargers and the Raiders. Patrick Mahomes hasn't broken 200 yards passing. Now, they blew out the Raiders. 40-9, right? But he doesn't break 200 yards passing. He hasn't had multiple touchdown passes in either of his last 2 games. I'm not sure Tyreek Hill is totally healthy. He played over 50 snaps last week, but he's coming off a hamstring injury. And when I watched the game against the Raiders, he didn't look like the same guy to me. Every target was a short sort of catch and run play, and that's part of his bag of tricks, even when he feels right. But I didn't see him open up the throttle, so to speak, and get downfield. I mean, Trayvon Mullen, the immortal Trayvon Mullen, is a cornerback who's having a solid year for the Raiders. He's a second-round pick out of Clemson. But Tyreek Hill couldn't get away from Trayvon Mullen. One-on-one. Just no separation. Nothing down the field. Again, he had 5 catches for 50 yards.
When did he get the hammy? When did he get the hammy?
Just didn't look the same. So he played 2 snaps against the Chargers and then left the rest of that game. Missed that the rest of that game. Ooh. So, or he had 2 targets and left the rest of that game. So if Tyreek Hill isn't right, this offense looks much different. And I would lump Sammy Watkins into the conversation as well. Sammy Watkins is a guy you respected enough last year in the AFC title game that you stuck your best corner on that guy for the majority of the football game. We remember the end of the game where Stephon Gilmore shadowed Travis Kelce. For the majority of that game, it was Stephon Gilmore on Sammy Watkins, and it was J.C. Jackson on Travis Kelce. It wasn't until the end, 2-minute sort of drill, end of game, they started putting Gilmore on Kelce. And I think that's what you're going to see this week, because Gilmore on Watkins would be an absolute waste. It would be a waste. 95 snaps his last 2 games. Sammy Watkins has 2 catches. He has been a non-factor since week 1. Had a monster week 1 against the Jaguars. 200 yards receiving. 3 touchdowns. Has been a non-factor since then. He's too easy to take away. You can't put Gilmore on this guy. So I would put Gilmore on Kelce. I would double Hill, whether he's healthy or not. And I think you have a pretty good chance at slowing down this offense. I really do.
Mike is in the truck. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Just a little bit of physics for Phil. You pour water in a cup, and it finds its level. I think the defense played a bad game last week because of multiple issues, but I think the defense is going to find their level. And I think on offense, they're above average at quarterback. They're above average at offensive coordinator. And I think one of the keys to this game is they're going to find their level by tapping into this kid, Ferentz. The other center was a plotter. This kid, Ferentz, can get out and run the screens. He can get to the second level quicker than Karras did. And I think they're going to open
up. Why was he playing before him?
What's that?
Why wouldn't he play before him then?
Why wouldn't he? I was wondering that myself. Why didn't they put him in there? He's more like Andrews than Karras ever is.
I agree with that.
And I think he can get to that second level quicker. I think they're going to open up the screen game. And I think the offense is going to come back to level. And they're going to score points against this team.
If the offense comes back to level, it's not going to be because of James Ferentz. Yeah. Can we just say that?
No, but I actually talked to Belichick about this for All Access. You can see it tonight on Channel 4 at 7 o'clock. I actually asked him about, you know, some of the things you saw maybe from Ferentz. He goes, thanks. Yeah, we got in there. And
he's not wrong about being more like Andrews. He is, I would say, Andrews is in the middle where he has enough power to be able to withstand against power.
Yeah.
Ted is probably the heaviest of the three and the more powerful of the three. Ferentz is right around the same weight, if not even a little bit lighter than Andrews. And so that may be where you have your issue.
He looks like a football player.
Is against power. Like, you know, Chris Jones is a really long arm defensive lineman, defensive tackle for the Chiefs. He's their best defensive player. I don't know if that's a great matchup if you have Chris Jones working on James Ferentz snap after snap after snap. It's a guy who's going to require help, as Ted did at times. And if this offense gets back to or closer to what we think it is, it's going to be because they figure out how to beat man coverage. The Steve Spagnuolo scheme is not a man scheme. It's a zone scheme, but it is a pattern match type of scheme. So it's zone. It ends up looking like man because they're not just dropping to a spot and keeping their eye on the quarterback like some zone teams will do. But everyone is playing man against the Patriots now. The Cowboys, we didn't even talk about this because I don't know if I've seen you guys, or have I not seen you guys since the Cowboys game? I guess I haven't.
We'll pick it up on the other side.
Cowboys played a bunch of man. They don't usually do that. That's the point.
Remember that thought, and also N'Keal Harry and the Patriots offense and how they can maybe try and make things easier, or have they already? Mm. We'll do that with Phil Perry coming up next. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Any of them.
I mean, Trent,
them
this work. Is hilarious. Yeah. I mean, this is great. I mean, that's so
But don't funny. You think that that's legitimate outdoors?
It is, but
Barry, let me finish a freaking point one time.
All right, let her rip, kid.
Good Lord.
I like when Phil gets mad.
One time.
Bells will be ringing. Sad news. Oh, Johnny Lester. To have the blues.
I was pretty good with that song. Oh, foresight into everything.
Johnny's gone. 140 million.
You didn't want to spend.
Or 90 million. Something.
You got anything about Phil and Tanguay, though? Start right now.
Here Why do you hate Tanguay?
I don't hate Tanguay. I don't hate Tanguay.
A lot of people ask me
I love
this
Tanguay.
Week.
A lot of people asking you that? No, I don't
Just
hate
kidding.
Tanguay. I love Tanguay.
Kidding. Start it up.
No, he's great. He's been very good to me.
You know why he loves
we
that?
We just always end up yelling at each other on TV.
You know
that's not the
that?
First time that's happened, by the way. It's happened many
Will
times.
Shut up and let me talk.
They just never. No, this is what happens. He's a big time interrupter.
Yeah. Yes.
And
you know what he likes that?
Gets me going.
Controversy.
One time.
Controversy. Gary's
controversy. He's big into controversy.
Big controversy.
I mean, Zoe, you could attest to this. It's only a matter of time. You work with Gary enough, you just lose your mind.
Or he loses it, yeah.
Well, both. Yeah.
And if you think Gary
Jim,
was
it's
even
him,
remotely
right?
offended by that.
Oh, no, he wasn't. We were laughing about it 30 seconds later.
He's impossible to offend.
He is. That's what's great about him.
I wouldn't say impossible. I know of a few times he's been offended.
I got him once last year.
Wow.
You
on TV?
Yeah,
oh, really?
On TV. And it wasn't even my fault. It was Cherubin. Who was egging me on to give him a hard time about one of his hits from the road on the way down to the Super Bowl. And they stopped in that restaurant in Tennessee. Do you remember this, Phil?
Yes.
Where allegedly Belichick, you know.
It's like his barbecue spot or whatever, yeah.
And Trubin's like, in my ear, is like, well, where's Belichick? I'm like, well, where's Bill? Where does he sit? And you know, they played the piece and then, like, Gary talked to some waitress who had never actually seen him in there. I'm like, Gary, this is a bunch of nonsense. You went to a restaurant that's kind of near where Belichick might have a home.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Oh, he got pissed. It's like, what do you want? They want me to do something. They want me to stop into this place.
So that's like Gary thinking, hey, I tried to make something out of nothing. I tried to be creative, and it worked out okay, and then you crap on it. And he's like, that's you messing with creative, Gary. Not sportscaster Gary.
That's right. Sportscaster Gary really cannot be offended.
You're right. I messed with creative, right. You know, funny Gary. And that
he once smashed a ukulele in the newsroom. So I don't know if you know that story, but we'll tell it another day.
Who hasn't?
We'll tell it another day. Phil?
I forgot about
N'Keal
that.
Harry, we asked a question earlier this week. When it comes to the young receivers on this team,
yeah,
do you want to simplify and dumb down the offense to be able to get more out of these players, or is that hurting yourself? Because when you do that, you become easier to defend. And therefore, in the end, you're not as good. What you should be doing is chipping away at it, hoping that the young guys get better week by week, learn more, and stop making the same mistakes that they've been making. So what would you do? And maybe, as you told me, maybe they've already started to do that. They've already simplified things a little bit.
It looks that way to me with N'Keal Harry, at least. Jacoby Myers has been around since camp, obviously played a lot, has played a lot over the course of this season. And so when you look at what Jacoby Myers has done on the field, it's actually pretty varied. And so there is a lot on that guy's plate. They put him in the slot on the right side. They put him in the slot on the left. They put him on the outside, both spots. They have him running goes. They have him running digs, hitches, comebacks, all sorts of stuff. With Harry, the progression in the three games he's played is one that I tracked recently, and I'll be writing about it a little later today.
You should pump your own tires more.
Is NBCSportsBoston.com. You can also follow me at Phil A. Perry, and I will be tweeting the link out there a little bit later.
Good job, Phil.
But you track how they have used him over the course of his three games, and I would say in Philly, he actually had a pretty good variety of things that they asked him to do. They had him out there in the running game. They had him cracking down on a defensive end. You remember that was one of his first plays as a pro. And then in terms of the variety of the routes, hitches, slants, slant flat combinations with other receivers, posts, goes, curls, comebacks. They had him for one tunnel screen, though, which is, I think, something they could do a little bit more of with him because he's a after-the-catch-and-run type of guy, or at least that's what he
Josh was. Gordon, throw it to Josh Gordon and just carry people for four.
That's what he was at Arizona State. Yeah. He was really good with wide receiver screens. So I looked at that first game, and I said, man, pretty good variety. It looks like he, you know, can do a bunch of different things, or at least they're asking him to do them, and he looked okay. Then in Dallas, you saw even a little bit more. He played a lot more.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit more down the field, more goes. You worked in the back shoulder plays for the first time. You had three back shoulder types of routes in Dallas. The comebacks, everything was a little bit higher because he played more snaps, but there were more different types of alignments. They used them from stack formation, stack alignments, though. Something they didn't do a ton of in Philly. Now you look at Houston, and obviously the snaps are way down, but they took away the stacks and bunches, none of those. Out on an island, essentially, by himself. He runs a couple of goes. He runs a couple of digs. He runs an under route that gets picked off.
The pick killed him.
He runs a hitch.
The pick killed him.
It just looked to me like it was a step back. Houston was a step back in terms of how complicated it was, the things they were asking him to do. It looked like they, in some ways, you know, whether you call it dumbed down or you just call it simplified, whatever it is, it looked like they did that in Houston. And I would say this, even over the course of the first three games, they already don't use him in an incredibly complicated style in terms of where he lines up. 82% of his snaps, three games, have been on the outside. He's only been used in the slot 12 times. His slot was something he did a little bit of in college, and it's something that some of his college coaches actually suggest that he do in the pros because he's not a separator. They know that. He probably knows that. He wasn't a separator in college. He's not going to be a separator on the outside in the NFL, it looks like. So use him in the slot, manufacture some separation, run some of those pick routes, those rub routes, but they took those away. So only one bunch formation for the guy. Only four rub routes total when he's running 68 routes in three games. That's something that the Patriots do. That's a staple of their offense, especially against man coverage, which they're seeing a lot of. You would think more high-low crossers, get some traffic going, more slant flat, more bunches, more stacks, create confusion, create traffic. They're not doing that with this guy right now. And so I'm not sure how much more simplified it can be for him, is what I would say as far as N'Keal Harry goes. Jacoby Myers, maybe you can't dial back a little bit because he's done a lot. Philip Dorsett, how do you simplify it for that guy? That was a guy who made mistakes the other night. Mohamed Sanu, dropping passes. He is, when he gets healthy, I think, going to be the difference maker after Edelman. But right now, if you're looking at Harry and you're saying, just simplify it, make it easier, I'm not sure how much
what's easier in a slant?
More easy they can make it.
What's easier in a slant?
All right. Well,
but at the same time, I think you kind of need him, Beetle.
You
kind of need him. You need somebody who can beat man coverage. See, nobody's separating. All he has going for him right now is size. That's something that can beat man coverage.
But if you're a size guy and you're playing basketball and you're moving to get open and a guy's coming to defend you and you know, you're pushing, you're running through that to establish yourself, that you get this. Why don't they coach him up to do it better? Like, that should be ingrained as, okay, I recognize I got bump and run. I can't run a slant the same way I did down in Philly where they're 8 yards off and I just easily take it in and then catch it in my belly. We're good.
Phil, appreciate your time.
All right, bud.
Thanks for the hour. That's good stuff.
Football Fix, 6 o'clock.
That's right. I will not be there tonight,
but
you will soldier on without me. Thank you.
I will hold down the fort.
Hold it down,
it's
going to
be a great show.
Hold it down.
But we'll miss you.
It's Phil Perry of NBC Sports.
Who's filling
Boston
in for you?
I'm not sure, but we're going to get to the headlines
now.
We've got RJ Bell waiting on the other side. We'll get to RJ coming up next. Tom Brady will speak in the 1 o'clock hour as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.